today on Real Radio.
You see yourself because you have a tinge of religion in you to be legalistic. And so you go and you wag your finger and you make rules and regulations. But in private, you don't keep them. You just ride around in a limo and you hang your nose and eyes out the window. You can't let people know who you are. You can't let people know that you're nobody. So you put this thing on. That's what legalism does.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Steppin' From Death to Life, continues now in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 15. In this chapter, we find that we cannot be saved from our sins simply by being good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and only Him. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul passionately speaks from his heart. His fervor comes from a desire for us to put to death the legalism in our lives. Our flesh is spiritually dead, no matter how much we try to make a good showing, and without the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we'll continue to live boasting in our own good works. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when we step from death into life, we are awakening to a new reality. The world has written us off as fools, but because of the cross of Christ, our interest in worldly things is considered foolishness to us. And now continuing his lesson called Steppin' From Death to Life, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
To have you circumcised. Why? What's their motive? Why are they so dedicated to me? Here's their motive. So that they would not suffer physical persecution that is native to Christianity, because Christianity embraces the cross. Judaism was legal in the Roman Empire. A lot of religions were legal in the Roman Empire. But do you know what was not legal in the Roman Empire? Yeah, Christianity. The preaching of the cross was a sin against the state. It was a crime against the state of Rome. So the legalists are saying, yeah, you can be born again, but add this to your born again experience. Keep the law, which means you are falling from grace. You can't trust in Jesus and add your good works to it. That's falling from grace. But they said, do that and be circumcised and keep the law. And Paul says, this is their motive, to amass people to themselves so that they could escape the persecution of the cross. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. They deceived people ever so gently by a degree off from what was dead center, the course. They would look really good to the Christians. And if a bunch of Jews pulled up in town, the black donkeys come down the road, the doors open up, out come the legalists from Jerusalem. They could say, oh yes, it's fine. Calm down, my dear friends. We're just like you too. Well, have they been circumcised in keeping the law? Yes, 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 yes. They've been circumcised. Well, okay, then and away they go. You see, that legalist had them amass around them for their own flesh glory. And so they preached a false gospel, which is a gospel with additions to it. Oh yeah, you can believe in the Bible, but just also believe in this another testament. Oh, you can believe in the Bible, but keep these rules, read our magazines, do these requirements, and that's fine. You see? Because my goodness, how good does it sound when somebody comes and says, it's great that you believe in Jesus, but you need to keep the law of Moses. Well, Moses was of God. Moses was a holy man of God. God gave Moses the very law. But do you guys, do you class, do we church remember why God gave the law through Moses? Well, let me give you a little bit of a hint. The same God that gave the law to Moses also gave Moses the rights of making animal sacrifice. That ought to wake you up. Wake up your friend and say, that is interesting. If we could keep the law, then why did God give Moses the rights to the people with Aaron and the high priestly hood to offer up the blood of an innocent animal? Wow. the blood was to be offered when we couldn't keep the law. So when somebody comes preaching to you a legalistic gospel, ask them, well, now what do I do if I embrace your message? What sacrifice do I make? You see? John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The book of Hebrews, chapters 9, 10, and 11 tells us, in a nutshell, I'll put it this way. He came from heaven to earth. He died on the cross, and he presented his blood, not upon the altar which is on earth, but it says in Hebrews, upon the altar which is eternal in the heavens, that does not fade away, where moth and rust does not corrupt or steal, and thief does not break in. He offered up his blood once and for anybody? All. Not again. There's no lamb, there's no heifer, there's no dove that can be sacrificed now if you're going to keep legalism. Legalism's dead. Because we're spiritually dead. We can't make these bodies be perfect. The start, if you're going to be legal, the start is already flawed because we are flawed people. That's why we need him, the Savior. Legalism's constantly shallow. They're protecting their own skin, literally. And then thirdly, under this point, the flesh is incurably proud. We've all learned that, haven't we? Tragically, I say that with tongue in cheek because some of us haven't learned that yet. What do you mean, Pastor? This is the ultimate of pride. We learn from this in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. Read those chapters. The epitome of pride declares, I can do this myself. I don't need Christ. I don't need his cross. I don't need God. I can do this on my own. It's called a works-based or performance-based religion. And that's proud. And that's pride. It says in verse 13, for not even those who are circumcised, Paul said, keep the law. Oh, isn't that true? They talk about it, but they don't do it, Paul says. But they desire to have you circumcised that they might boast in your flesh. Read the fine print. The pain is all yours for their glory. Oh, look at all these people that have been circumcised, and they all follow me. Paul says the motive is all theirs. It's all for them. And in private, they don't even keep the law. It's arrogant. Yesterday evening, at the corner of Peyton Drive and Chino Hills Parkway, I was heading home, and there were two limousines side by side at the stoplight. And I thought, it looked like they were going to race each other. I was kind of hoping that would happen. I've never seen two limos race. And one was black and white, so I thought, this is kind of cool. And the windows go down like this. Watch. Just like about 4 inches. And you can see eyes and a nose sticking out. And other window. And they're looking at each other. Did they know each other? I don't know. Were they going to the same destination? I don't know. But you know what? Have you ever ridden in a limo? Raise your hand if you've been inside one. Wow, who are you anyway? I remember a friend of ours got one for my daughter's 16th birthday. And it was a big surprise. It was very fun. And we went to eat in Hollywood and goof off. It was crazy. And you stay up all night and the family's in the car. It's hilarious. It's fun. But you know what? I got to tell you. And it's just us, so I can tell you. When you get in the car, you shut the door and you look around. First of all, it's like, wow, watch. Wow, look at this. Bing, bing, bing. You're pressing all the buttons and look, and you're squirting water across at your friend, you know, from the wet bar. Wow, look at this. This is really cool. And then as you settle in and it gets going down the freeway a little bit, you kind of like start to mellow out a little bit. You kind of mellow out. And you're sitting back there and then you start looking out the window. And you get a real rush. You want to know why? People are driving by you on the freeway and they're looking and they're going, and they're trying to, who's in there? Who's in there? Who is it? Did you see who it is? And that's why the window only goes down this far. Just enough to get the eyes and the nose out. Because if the window goes down all the way, they'll see, the world will know, it's nobody important. It's nobody. It's just Jack. They won't even know my name. Who's that guy? Oh, he's just some buffoon driving around thinking, you know, that he's somebody. The funny thing is, if you keep the window up just enough, you begin to think about what they're thinking. And then you hope they're thinking that you're really something. But you can't let them know who you are, so you keep the window almost all the way up. Why? Pride. Impression. I don't want anybody to know, you see, that it's just me. So what you do in that situation, because you don't trust God, you create this legalistic world that you can manipulate because you have the control of the button. And the window only goes down far enough for your own safety. You would never be seen public. You would never be seen among people. Why? Because you can't stand who you are because you don't see yourself in Jesus Christ being saved and secured in Christ. You see yourself because you have a tinge of religion in you to be legalistic. And so you go and you wag your finger and you make rules and regulations, but in private, you don't keep them. You just ride around in a limo and you hang your nose and eyes out the window. You can't let people know who you are. You can't let people know that you're nobody. So you put this thing on. That's what legalism does. Well, do you know who I am? I get these things in the mail. You're invited to meet with me. I am the, and it's this huge, I didn't even know such names existed. They got these Right Reverend Pastor, Father, Friar, Padre Joe Johnson, D-D-L-I-T-T, M-D, Ph-D, L-M-N-O-P. I mean, it's all of this stuff. And it's like, whoa, this guy invited me to this thing. Wow, what did he invite me to? Come and meet with us and see how we're all just one big global happy family, and whatever anybody believes, it's their own business, and God or gods will make it all right in the end. And I'm shocked. But apparently some people read those things and go, the Right Reverend Pastor Father, you know, Pontiff Evangelist PhD guy wrote me. Watch out. That's dangerous. Why? This world's incurably proud. Watch out. Legalism breeds that stuff. Look at Jesus, how he walked around in the earth. People came up to him, good master, what? Don't call me good master. Call me Right Reverend, the God Almighty here in human flesh. The Lord Son of God. Don't come up to me and say, hey, good master. Or Jesus, what must I do? Say Jesus Christ. Jesus is my name. Christ is my mission. You should say Lord Jesus Christ when you address me. If anybody had a right to do that, it would have been him. But he didn't, did he? Be careful. Legalism will kill you. The second thing we understand this morning, our second point is this, verse 14, that if we're going to step from death to life, know this, it is life. The life of the believer. Oh, it's different. I got to tell you, after first service, a young man came up and he said, I want to pray with you. And I said, great, you want to accept the Lord? And he said, no, I did that last week. And I said, oh, well, then what's going on? He said, well, I heard the message last week and I prayed and I wasn't really sure what happened, but this morning, this is an 18-year-old young man. This morning, he says, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. Somebody gave me a video teaching of yours from a couple months ago. I put it in the video and I listened to it. And after hearing the video, now I know I have a personal relationship with Jesus and I got to tell somebody about it. And I guess telling you, praying with you, have you prayed for me? It's a great way to do it. And I said, man, right on. Let's pray. And we prayed together. Simple believing in Jesus. He said, since I accepted the Lord a week ago, my whole thinking's changed. He goes, I don't think the same anymore. Those were his words, a brand new believer. You know, when you hear that, your heart just rushes, you know. Why? He's got a real life now. Well, Paul says, God forbid that I, Paul, should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Well, what do we learn from this? That the life of the true believer, he celebrates the power of the cross. He celebrates the power of the cross. I'm going to give you some verses. I'm going to run through them quickly. Do write them down, please. We don't have much time. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. And while we were dead in our trespasses and sins and the uncircumcision of our hearts, God made us alive together in Christ, having forgiven us all of our sins, having wiped out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us. Jesus Christ, taking them out of the way, nailed them to his cross. Did you ever sin before you accepted Christ? Anybody? Look how many liars are in here right now. Have you sinned after accepting Jesus Christ? A couple more honest people. Are you going to sin sometime in the future? Do you plan on it? But we know from case history and from Romans chapter 7, it could happen. Listen, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, when did God call you into his family? The Bible says before the world was ever created. God knows everything. He called you before you were ever born. And now that you're a Christian and you blew it this week and you're kicking a can of regret and pity, and that's okay. Did you go confess it to God? Yeah, but I'm still so bad. I'm so bad. Okay, you're so bad. Give that to Christ. Get up and start walking in the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Get up and move. Why? Because God in Christ took the handwriting of ordinances, that is the breaking of the law of God, Jesus took on the cross and he paid the debt. Man, the day that we wake up to this reality, you're going to grow about 6 inches. Your feet will scarcely touch the ground. You'll be so elated that God loves you all the time. That his children, yes, he's grieved when you sin, but he will not abort you from the family. He may spank you quite well, but he will not abort you. Follow him. Jesus took them away. Philippians 3, 18 and 19. Paul says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, now even tell you weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ. There are people who traffic around religious circles and church circles who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8 tells us that Jesus, who was found in the appearance of a human, went to the cross and paid all of our sins' debt. He humbled himself and became a servant, obedient even unto death. Isn't that amazing? The death of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. Paul says, Christ didn't send me to baptize people, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. He says, for the message of the cross, listen, is foolishness to those who are going to hell, but it's life to those who believe. Boy, that's powerful, huh? Can you say hell in church like that? Jesus talked about hell more than anybody. Okay, H-E, double hockey sticks, okay? Does that make you feel better? Jesus spoke against hell more than anybody else in the Bible. Why? He doesn't want people to go to hell. Well, we're going to turn you into the authorities for mentioning hell in church. I'm waiting for that, by the way. You know, there's a big push in the world to not mention Jesus, Bible. You know, did you see on September 11th, we put out that full page ad about hope in Christ, and after September 11th, it's time for us to remember. And somebody called me up. They were so upset because in there I said that people need to know the love of God that comes through God's word or comes through the Bible. And somebody called me and they were so upset. I suppose you think that the love of God only comes through the Bible. And they're all upset with the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Listen, that sentiment is growing. Bible. You want to stop a big group conversation somewhere? Mention Bible. Everybody will go, what do you say? Man, you want to do what sounds like cussing in the eyes and the ears of the world? Mention Bible. Bible. People will panic. Jesus, Praise you, Lord. What? What'd he say? People will freak. We celebrate the cross. Paul says it's the power of the cross. It's not that we hug a piece of wood and that we worship this little image. No, it's what it means. That Jesus Christ died on the cross. And you might want to ask, why then? Why a cross? That's a good question to ask. You want to know something? Before the Roman government took power of the world, there was a guy running around the planet, one of the bad guys running around the planet, by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a very bad man. Antiochus Epiphanes. You kind of get the hint of the word epiphania, epiphany, light, revelation. Antiochus. He believed himself to be the revelation of God. He was a forerunner of the Antichrist, by the way. And by the way, he marked people. One of the things that he did before he conquered an area, he'd come in to town, they would circle the entire city to be conquered. Then Antiochus Epiphanes would send an entourage down into the town. And they would say this, this is what we're going to do to everyone who resists us. They would take somebody captive, strip them naked. They would have them put one foot on the hind end of a horse and another foot on the other hind end of a horse. And they would bring underneath them a tree that had been stripped of its branches and sharpened to its points. They would put that tree roughly about 5.5 to 6 feet high underneath the woman or that man that was standing on the back end of those two horses. And then whoever was there presiding over this would slap the rear end of the horses. The horses would take off and that person would fall rectum first, gyrate on the spike until the spike pierced their hearts and they died within a minute, minute and a half. Antiochus Epiphanes boasted that he could conquer any place, any nation without raising a sword, because that's what he told the community that he was going to do to all those who resisted. He was famous for it. Then Rome takes power, and Rome comes, and they look, and they know all about Antiochus Epiphanes and the practice of the Assyrians and all, and that ancient practice carried on through time. And the Roman Empire says, we're going to abolish that altogether. It's too merciful. Because the person, though he's put into horrible shame and shock, dies in a minute and a half. That's too quick. What can we do? What can be thought of that is the most painful, enduring, and time-consuming death? And they invented crucifixion.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Steppin' from Death to Life. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you follow Christ from death into everlasting life. Steppin' from Death to Life is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We hope you've enjoyed our study in Galatians. And we want to let you know, for a limited time, you can get the uncut audio version of this series on the Book of Galatians for a gift of any amount by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. In this series, the Apostle Paul shares with us the gospel of grace. We can have true spiritual victory in our lives when we discover that we can't save ourselves by doing good works or by keeping the law. We are saved simply by believing in and accepting Jesus Christ. Get your copy of the Galatians series, Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.